together like a horse and carriage. This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage.
How great that such a beautiful song is the lead-in for maybe one of the most crass programs ever on recorded television, and one of my favorites in that same breath.
Ooh, Mickey Blue Eyes just brings it to you.
He, goddamn, I mean, he's just silky. Silky smooth.
It's just, every time I hear that song, I see the fountain, and then I see Ed O'Neill frowning with his hand in his pants. Those are the images that pop into my head.
And Peg throwing the cigarette in the soup, or whatever she was cooking at the time. Yep.
For flavor.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Seasoning.
Yeah.
And then I want to say Kelly was on the stairs, right?
Kelly could be wherever she wants.
Right. Or was she walking? Yeah, she was either walking up the stairs or she walks into the door.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody's screaming at us right now, just going like, I know exactly how this happens. You guys are screwing this up. But if you don't know what we're talking about, we are talking about the lovely late 80s, early 90s show, Married with Children.
Yes.
That pretty much branched everybody's career, I think, that still has a career in Hollywood.
Except for Buds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They can't all be winners.
Yeah. You got Christina Applegate, who most recently just starred in The Vacation, I guess, sequel.
Yeah.
Ed O'Neill, who's now redeemed and lovable as the grandfather / husband, Married with Children. And then you had...
Modern Family.
Sorry, what did I just say?
Married with Children.
Yeah, Modern Family. And then you have Kate Siegel, who went to be on 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter. Leela, the voice of Leela on Futurama. And the mom on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah,
the that's
main actress. She's probably, not probably, she's by far the most successful.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
I'd say her
Little with, Giants.
Yeah, Ed O'Neill.
So.
Oh, Little Giants. I totally forgot about that, too.
And he gets to hang out with Sophia all day, every day.
Yeah, he gets to pretend kiss Sophia Vergara, so...
Oh man, but I love Married with Children because it was so 90s. It had the live studio audience that would cheer for Al and ooh at Kelly, especially
the classic.
Yeah,
the classic.
I swear to God, I felt like they just pounded beers to that whole studio audience every time. Like every time that episode started, it was just like, it's like, what the? It's like
that was the entries.
The entrance fees,
you had to chug a six pack.
It's like a Tijuana strip club in the studio audience right now. Holy shit.
All
right.
So, who is your favorite supporting character from, so outside the family on Married with Children?
Brian, you want to go first? Or
sure. Man. I would have to say probably Buck.
Oh.
His inner monologue. On point.
Buck was always a fan favorite. And it's a fucking talking dog. It's how much cooler can you get?
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, actually, how hasn't Married with Children sued Family Guy for having the talking dog gimmick that basically is the only sober person in the entire...
Because they didn't sue... Mr. Ed didn't sue them.
Yeah, you can't trademark a talking animal.
That's true, I guess. But, I mean, he was the only... Like, that was the gimmick, though, was... I mean, that's clearly Brian...
Have you seen 101 Dalmatians?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna give up on that argument.
Brett,
right
Brett,
there.
What about you? Favorite supporting.
I would say my favorite supporting character was probably Jefferson.
Oh, you bastard!
Yeah.
Mine.
Oh yeah. Jefferson was always up to the schemes. He was always conniving. He always had he was always one up from Al even. And
but he was so dumb at the same time.
What did he do for a job?
I think he worked at the shoe store, didn't he?
No,
without?
No.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He was a trophy husband to Marcy.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think they ever talked about what
but
he did.
But there was that storyline where he may have been a spy during the Cold War.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. Great.
Yep.
It's so weird because they leave it to the point where you don't know if he was actually a spy or not. Like, he says it's a practical joke on Al. But then... They leave it up to your imagination But I just remember there's like one scene where he's in Cuba trying to take down Fidel, like as a flashback.
I do remember that with Jefferson. Yeah, yeah. I was always so thrown off too, because I mean, not to sound, you know, a little, you know, I always thought
where are you going with this
guy? I always thought Jefferson was a pretty good looking guy, and then I looked at Marcy and I was like, I don't get this, but whatever.
Oh yeah, no, totally agree.
Yeah, it was one of those. I mean, it was one of those times where, I guess so. That completely makes sense.
What did she do?
Probably something boring like accounting.
Yeah.
Okay. Just printed money.
Before we bleed this segment out, though, what would you say your favorite character is?
I'm gonna go with Jefferson.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Great head of hair on that guy.
It's not only that, but he was just he slid in and he was Al's number one because Steve, the previous neighbor, Marcy's first husband, was very like he was more hesitant. He was more fearful than Jefferson. Jefferson just went right along with everything. He was part of the No Man Club. He was a no mammer.
Yeah.
And he was always there for Al.
But I remember Steve came back in like one of the last seasons or whatever, and that was just really awkward because it was like, no.
We've moved on. Jefferson, we have clearly
moved on.
I will credit Married with Children for teaching me what date rape was, because basically any scene with Bud was borderline date rape.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about that, yeah, that was actually... Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, if Married with Children were to happen now, I feel like Al may have caught Peggy on a website like Ashley Madison.
Ooh.
I feel like that could have been one of their storylines.
Yeah, yeah. That or Jefferson. Jefferson may have been on Ashley Madison.
That may be where Marcy met Jefferson.
Exactly. That makes more sense.
Yeah, I feel like that show would have definitely covered Ashley Madison. Especially with what's happening now. And what's been happening over the past couple weeks.
They pulled the rug out.
Yeah, man. This hacking group that hacked Ashley Madison and dumped all this customer information. I, for one, think it's hilarious. I've had friends disagree with me on that point because they say it's an invasion of privacy. But I don't care. I think it's hilarious. You cheat, you get caught, that's what happens.
You're hiring a service to cheat on your significant other. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like the rug is already out. Like, there is no rug under you. You've dropped down to the bottom already.
Yeah. I bet our listeners didn't guess that we were going to start with Married with Children and then take the high road
with
Ashley Madison.
Absolutely. Well, it's a great bridge. And what is crazy, though, about this hack is all of the resulting things that are coming out of it, like people committing suicide, people losing relationships, and
suicide.
Oh yeah, there's been
there. Oh wow,
now I feel a little bit bad, but not terribly bad.
Dan's like, pull the segment.
But no, I mean, at the end of the day, these people deserve it. They're lying to their supposed loved ones, and yeah, they're all assholes.
Yeah, it's not like a stock market crash from like 1930. No, like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's just great that Ashley Madison offers a service to have your account deleted. This is before the hat. This is one of their policies. So if you are a customer to Ashley Madison, you're paying a monthly fee so that you can find matches with other married people to have an affair with. But if you wanted to stop using their services, you could stop paying them, and that's okay, so that we won't match you up anymore. You can't access your profile, but we're gonna hold on to your profile. You have to pay us another $19 if you want us to delete your information. So there's a ton of these people who were cheap, who didn't pay the $19, who got all their shit released because Ashley Madison was just holding on to
it. Oh, I didn't know that.
They were pretty making crazy, millions right? off of this fee to require you to pay to have your account permanently deleted.
Yeah. I think my whole issue with the whole thing was, and since the very get-go, since Ashley Madison has existed, is they are so fucking smug about this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what is so just, like, off-putting about it, too, is, like, I mean, at one point, I would almost sympathize with the website that catered it to like this, like, hey, you're a piece of shit. We're going to find some other pieces of shit that are going to help you cheat on your significant other that is doing everything for you on the back end. Like, that would be something where I would be like, okay, well, you know what? They're actually catering to a clientele that actually fits to it. But, like, they were acting so smug about it on every single commercial I ever saw. And I'm like, you know what? I got no sympathy for them. Hey, dude, box is open.
Yeah, the balls on the executives at that company, like, with their marketing and advertising, unbelievable. And, I mean, what shocks me is really just how many users that they had. Like, I couldn't believe it that all of these dumb idiots were using this service.
Well, I think it's funny. I saw this on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, is that a huge part, like a huge majority of like this one Canadian town were all members. Like, in the six digits were all members of this site out of, like, you know, a couple million. And that a lot of Canadians use this, so I don't know what's going up there with our cousins across the border, but apparently their marriages are empty and hollow, that they need to use this site. Or I think they just can't go about getting affairs the normal way because everyone's always in big coats and it's always cold. So they want to see, like, a profile. They want to know what they're getting into before they take somebody home.
Yeah, but you want to shop before you buy.
But to me, this is like the old-fashioned way of, like, just fucking shining a spotlight in the air. I mean, you are so almost guilty of getting caught with it. You're putting it out on the internet. Of course you're going to get fucking caught at some point, and this rug's going to, like, pull out from under you. It makes no sense to me that anybody thought confidentiality existed in this.
I mean, if we go back to how ballsy it is, I always felt so dirty anytime one of their commercials would come on TV. Because I would imagine that this would be a service that existed in, like, the Fifth Element future. Like, something that is just super immoral, and then it's just kind of making a comment. Like
you had to wear a costume for it or something.
Right. Like, it's such a ridiculous idea, it would never be in reality.
Yeah.
It would be fiction in a movie.
And it would be some snarky commentary on society.
Yeah.
Not that it actually existed, and that had always made me sad. And I think it's fucked up that they use wedding rings in their logo.
I never noticed that.
Yeah.
It's really fucked up.
No, I didn't notice that.
And it's like they're coming off. That's their little animated logo.
Oh. You know, here's to you, Ashley Madison. You guys are rocking it on the Creep Factor times a million.
Well,
get the fuck out of Dodge.
Speaking about the Creep Factor, not only did it surface that the CEO was using the service,
that was funny,
and had multiple affairs, but that the Duggar guy from 19 and Counting, the show on TLC, where he is the son who was accused of sexually assaulting two of his sisters while growing up, and he had repented and he was trying to live a very faithful life in his religion, was then found that he had two accounts on Ashley Madison.
Oh shit, I didn't know you had two.
And having affairs on his wife.
Double down.
Using this service. And that he was also addicted to porn. So sorry for my addictions.
Please tell me he was trying to be one of the other Duggar kids on the other account.
Oh,
damn it. That would have been so good. That would have been so good.
But I just bet you he was like, hey, girl, you know me from TLC. Let's get together. Like, I bet you that was the extent of his profile. And it was probably like, I just hope that people learn cheating is bad. When you do bad things happen.
Yeah. Well, number one, how is it any surprise that the CEO of a company that orchestrates out-of-marriage affairs is not using the service, you know? Like, let's get real. Was his wife really like, oh my god, this is such a shock? No, bitch! How do you think he became rich? Of course he's gonna do it! And number two, Josh Duggar. Wow, fuck that guy. I mean, all these real giant pieces of garbage coming out in the media recently, and they just need to go away. Like, just go under a rock and disappear. Because you have no shred of credibility left. Like, you're not going to be able to do anything with anybody and have them take you seriously. So just go away and...
You know
nice
what?
Knowing you.
And that's what I'm saying, though, is that's what I think, like, it catered to the pompous assholes that we're now seeing where it's like, oh, yeah, you belong to that club. You belong to that club. You belong to that club. It's like the guys that were just preaching so much shit that now you're finding out the rug fell out from under them. And you're like, I hate to keep saying it. Go fuck yourself.
So I have an idea. I have an idea for the Ashley Madison users. So I say we send them to Mars on that first mission, the one we know that's not coming back. And we go, hey, feel free to have as many affairs as you want, but do it on Mars. Let us know how it is over there, and see you never.
Oh.
I think it's one, it's better off for us as a moral society. Two, scientifically, it'll help us. And three, it's a win-win.
Dan has broken this down on a scientific level right now.
Yeah, I scienced the shit out of that Ashley Madison argument.
Wow. He definitely threw down some science on that shit.
I'm just trying to break it down on a moral and ethic level. Dan is breaking this down on a science level.
Mars has been on my mind. I've been reading The Last Martian. That book that the movie, they made a movie that Matt Damon is starring in. But not just him, but he's leading with like a great cast.
And Ridley Scott's directing it too.
Yeah.
So
I am, if you haven't seen the trailer, there's two out now, and they're both at least like 3 minutes, so I'm pretty sure the movie will be about 4 hours. But it looks awesome.
Oh, it looks incredible.
And I think it, like, just the cast, man. You have Matt Damon, you have I'm pretty sure Childish Gambino with Donald Glover's in it.
Yep.
You've got Will from The Newsroom, Jeff Daniels. You've got Kristen Wiig in a another serious role. I know she made that indie film, which had a huge twist that I read about, where it was more of a serious tone, but this is serious for her. It's got, the redhead that's very popular.
Chastain?
Yes.
Yep.
It's got,
isn't Bryce Howard the...
No, it's Chastain, right? And then it's got The Invisible Woman, Kate Mara in it.
Oh, Kate Mara, sure. That's what I'm thinking of.
Well, yeah, hopefully she can redeem herself from that dog shit of a movie.
Oh, absolutely terrible. But I just remember like watching this trailer, and it's just like star after star after star after star. And it's all going to be centered around Matt Damon. And I think he's playing a more likable character than he was the last time I saw him on screen, which was...
In space.
in the sequel to The Last Martian, which is Interstellar. But I think it's going to be a really cool look at science, for one, but it's kind of like Castaway, but in fucking outer space. So I am very excited for that. But the other thing I want to say is, like, what do you guys think about Matt Damon's recent trend of sci-fi movies?
I mean, he's been blowing it out of the park. I mean, the guy picks really good sci-fi movies to jump onto.
Yeah. I thought Elysium was pretty good. A lot of people didn't like it, but...
Blomkamp? Yeah, that was a Blomkamp film.
Right,
yeah.
Right. The guy who did...
District 9.
And Interstellar, and now this. What, did he do anything before that?
I think he's done...
But I mean, those sci-fi are like his last three big movies.
Yeah.
Have all been sci-fi pictures. And yeah, I think it's cool. Why not? Better him than some other shitty actor that's gonna... You know, take over sci-fi movies. You know, no offense, Channing Tatum, but stick to stripping and being next to Jonah Hill.
I think you're hitting on a point, though, on that, too, is Matt Damon has a look where he is intelligent enough to exist in these sci-fi movies. And I think that that's something that a lot of casting agents just completely miss these days, is you see Matt Damon and you're like, okay, like, whatever you're saying... I can believe that you actually comprehend that.
He's actually a smart dude.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I can believe what's coming out of your mouth, that you actually believe what you're saying or whatever. It's not like just shoving, like you're saying, Channing Tatum, who just got out of Magic Mike 2, into something where he's talking about interstellar stuff, and you're like, blow the fuck off, dude. Come on now.
No, I think the fucked up thing about Matt Damon is you change his hair color, and I'm like, oh, he's like a father figure, or he's a scientist. And then you to dye it back because it's gotten gray and you dye it dark. And I'm like, oh, it's Jason Bourne. He's going to kill me. And the fact that he can play those two sides of a coin of, like, smart, older, scientist, nerd, and, like, badass assassin in my mind is great.
Yeah.
And I will say, I did like him in Interstellar where he wasn't a good guy. And I think I've liked it, like, seeing Leonardo DiCaprio not as a good guy. I kind of want to see more of that, too, from Matt Damon, where he doesn't always have to be, like, the hero.
Yeah.
I like him being the antagonist. This one, though, however, he will be a very sympathetic and empathetic protagonist, but I think moving forward, he has that opportunity, too.
To throw it back on Interstellar, too, what I was thinking about, too, is I've had this talk with a lot of people is, I mean, what's he necessarily the bad guy in that movie, though? And not to, like, get a long debate or anything, but I mean, like, a lot of the times, like, that movie so portrays him as, because there's no villain in that movie.
Right.
There is no villain. There has to be some anchor to what they're doing or whatever. But when you think about it, he's not that bad of a guy.
He's not a bad guy, but if that character had a profile on AshleyMadison.com, I wouldn't.
Okay. There we go. Right there.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, traditionally there is always the antagonist. So, I mean, Matt Damon's the closest thing. So,
to it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. He was a dick.
He was a dick. On the topic of antagonists, have you guys seen the Hateful Eight trailer?
Oh.
From 2022. Yeah. Because that's a trailer you watch and you're like, all right, somebody's got to be bad or everybody's bad. I have no idea. Because I love Tarantino movies because the lines are always so blurred, but watching that, I have no idea what's going on, but it looks awesome.
Yeah, and then speaking of awesome casts, I mean, this cast is chock full of stars. Samuel Jackson, we have...
Bridges?
Yeah, Jeff Bridges.
Is that Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, that's the main guy.
Yeah,
yep.
That's the dude.
Yeah.
He's the one who actually has the girl. I don't think she's...
Yeah, I don't recognize her from much. But, I mean, that's what it is like, this is the first movie. I mean, and we'll get to the cast in a second, too. But this is the first movie that I think I'm actually interested in seeing from Quentin Tarantino in a long time. Because I feel like it's been the same... I mean, Inglourious Basterds was good. I felt like I was just appeased by the violence of that movie. The whole... film kind of back end half story of that movie just bored the shit out of me.
It gets a little convoluted with her.
Yeah, and I feel like every once in a while he just goes off the deep end where it's like, okay, clearly you're self-serving in regards to a director or whatever. This is the first movie where I feel like he's kind of got knocked on the head. I mean, I'd say Django too, where he's kind of realizing like, okay, I know the niche. I know what people are realizing what I do that people like, and I'm going to start reproducing that on a higher level now. Pulp Fiction, he's pulling shit from that, you can tell. I mean, just...
Yeah. I mean, some of the cast from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's this, like, an ensemble that you haven't seen in a long time where, I mean, he's pulling the good parts. You can tell even in the trailers, he's pulling the good parts of his movies and he's going, okay, I recognize what you guys have beat me over the head with for the last decade and...
Yeah, because is Michael Madsen in it?
Okay, so one, it's not Jeff Bridges. It is Kurt Russell.
Oh, that's Kurt Russell. Oh, okay.
Yes, Michael Madsen's in it. You've got Zoe Bell. You've got Channing Tatum.
Oh.
Which I think he's covered the fuck up, and that's why I did not even notice him in the trailer. You've got Samuel Jackson. Now, okay, you have a name that you probably won't recognize, but I love him, is Walton Goggins, and he is from Justified. He plays opposite Timmy Oliphant for the sixth season.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And
he was in Django, too.
Yeah, and he's great, and I'm looking forward to him, because he's not only in Hateful Eight, but he's in a couple other movies coming out that I think he's getting the push now. But he plays that Kentucky Western, very, like, outlaw pretty well. You've got Bruce Dern,
all right.
James Parts... And that's where... and then the lead female is Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Wow. So, from Him That Rocks the Cradle, I think.
From The Machinist, Road to Perdition.
Other films from a long time ago.
See, that's what's cool about, I think, Quentin Tarantino, is you can recognize that he's wanted to work with people prior to his film... career even started. And I mean, good for you, Tarantino. I think you're finally listening to the fans.
Yeah, and I think he found such a niche in that Western in Django, especially with how he treated the soundtrack and that feel. It's kind of like when he did not what was that? The one with
Reservoir Dogs.
No. It was that, like, the horror one. That they were the two films that went together.
Grindhouse.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry for struggling through that, guys. Where he matches his tone to, like, that era of when these movies were made. He nailed that Western tone in Django, and I'm looking forward to another contemporary style, but with that same, like, spaghetti Western tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking Tarantino. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think that's where he's found his niche.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
In other movie news, you've got, just real quick, Jennifer Lawrence and Amy Schumer announced that they're writing a script together in which they will play sisters.
It's, oh my God, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Because when it comes to female comments, I love Tina Fey, I love Amy Poehler. But I'm pretty sure Amy Schumer is on a very high rise, and she stays away from, like, the awkward comedy and is more very blunt, and it's very, very funny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't even write a script. Just show me the, like, them hanging out for, like, a month, and I'll watch that. Like, I'll buy the DVD of that.
Right. Just the documentary of them, like, just writing the movie, and then that's going to make more than the actual movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the amount of snarky comments between those two characters, I think it's going to be out of control.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're just going to ad-lib most of it, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm excited for that movie where Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are playing sisters. But I kind of feel bad for them now because I feel like Amy Schumer and Jennifer Lawrence are going to destroy them on the sister front.
Yeah. Well, it's also, you know, geared more towards our age bracket because they're both, you know, within our age group. And, yeah, no, I think Amy Schumer is hilarious. If you haven't seen any of her stuff, she's a very crude female comic, but, like, really clever as well. And one of the funniest things I've ever seen on TV is her adaptation of 12 Angry Men, entitled 12 Angry Men Inside Amy Schumer. And I can't remember, it hasn't been since the Chappelle Show that I've laughed that hard watching a piece of TV. It's hilarious. Because she is just so self-deprecating that it's really funny because, you know, girls don't do that. You know, it's guys that can do that, but it's just something refreshing.
Yeah, I will say I will be looking forward to that comedy. Very much so. A little bit more probably than the female Ghostbusters.
That looks pretty good, though, too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, on that note, I really think that that's actually going to be good. To be honest, I don't want to start a debate either on this subject.
I don't think
either.
It's a debate.
I don't want to start a debate, but I didn't really grow up watching. I was too young to remember Ghostbusters. I stumbled upon that shit when I was like 10. So, I mean, you know, I don't really have an ownership to it, which I think is a large majority.
You're afraid of ghosts?
Well, I mean, I love that movie, but I think, like, a lot of the people that are having to go thrown an ape shit about it these days are people our age where it's like, no, you didn't grow up. That movie came out in, like, 1980.
Oh, you mean, like, people that are mad that it's...
Yeah, like, that movie came out in, like, 1985. No, like...
It's the same people who are mad that Michael B. Jordan got to play Johnny Storm because he's black. It's the same
stupid
people that...
Shit,
yeah,
right?
They just want to be angry about anything, and they need to calm down.
They just don't like change, you know?
Yeah.
They're afraid of evolution.
A very good advising session of Pop Not Soda. We've taught you not to go on AshleyMadison.com because bad things will happen to you. Stop being angry about movies and who is playing who. Okay? Let Heath Ledger, you should have let him be fine because he was amazing. So stop hanging on Ben Affleck and the all-female cast of Ghostbusters. And three, Tarantino just stick to Westerns.
Yep.
That's just specifically for Tarantino. Everybody else doesn't have to listen to that.
Yep.
Are you taking notes? Time for the quiz.
Yeah. Before we head to break real quick, we just wanted to send our thoughts and prayers out to the family and friends of the tragic shooting that happened on live TV this morning as we were recording on Wednesday out in Virginia. Just a shitty situation, and we just wanted to recognize them and send our thoughts and prayers. So we will see you guys after the break. We'll be right back.
Hot damn, I love that tune. Welcome, welcome everyone. Once again, it is time for Brian's Employed Movie Reviews. And I know you want to dig into that vegan, gluten-free strawberry muffin, but just save that bite. And you know what? You don't even need to watch your figure. You could eat something way more induced with saturated fat. But moving on, this week, movie I'm talking about is entitled Wild. And this picture was just that.
Ooh.
How do you like that for a little...
Damn, that's a teaser.
Teaser.
Ooh. They call it a play on words.
Moving on.
Well, I'm hooked.
With the movie review.
You don't insult the audience, Dan, you fucking dick. Okay, anyway.
So this film stars Reese Witherspoon, and in the, you know, most definitive way, it is about her taking a journey. This is actually a true story. So it's based on this woman named Cheryl Strayed, who lost her mother, got divorced, became addicted to heroin, just like fucking bottomed out, right? And on a whim, she just decides to hike the Pacific Crest Trail, which runs all along the West Coast, and it is over 1,000 miles.
Damn.
And she just punishes the whole thing. Like, she gets through it by herself, which is unheard of when she literally had zero experience doing any sort of like outdoor survival type activity. And the way that the story unfolds in the movie is really cool, because they constantly jump back and forth from her hiking this trail to her life before she started this journey. And Laura Dern plays her mom. And it's like, it just reveals a lot of crazy shit that happens in her childhood, a lot of crazy shit that happens to her while she's married, and the result of that, you know, that eventually leads her down this path to just utter despair, and, you know, the redemption of her picking herself up and just fucking going for it and dominating this trail. And, you know, it's great because obviously it's out in nature and the cinematography is awesome. And, you know, it could be a slow movie because she's just fucking hiking 1,000 miles by herself. But, you know, going back to the flashbacks, it's a really nice pace. And there's, you know, like some comedy in it too, thrown in there. So it's, yeah, it's overall just a really good and interesting movie, knowing that this woman in real life just fucking did this shit.
Yeah. How much would you compare it to the Franco movie where he, you know, cuts his arm off? And I mean, like, is
127
it...
127
right.
hours?
127 hours. I couldn't figure out the amount of hours. I knew it had hours in it, but I didn't want to sound like an
a
idiot
lot of
right there.
Hours.
I knew it was a lot of fucking hours, yeah. Would you compare it to it, better or worse, or...?
Yeah, I would... Oh, it's definitely a better movie. And... Yeah, that's a good comparison, because you had a lot of flashbacks in that movie. I think the storytelling in Wild is better, and it's just more interesting because she's, you know, still interacting with people.
Yeah.
Even though she's hiking by herself, she runs into other hikers. There's, you know, obviously like stations and camps along the way where you can actually like rest for a night and take a shower and all that. So it's not like she's completely out in the wilderness for the entire trip. But yeah, I'd say it's definitely better, and Reese Witherspoon is fucking awesome in it too.
She got nominated for a few things, right?
Yeah.
Would you say it's more kind of the tone of like Into the Wild with Emile Hirsch?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's about a journey and like discovery of yourself and dealing with, you know, all these past issues and trying to move on from those and, you know, like create a new path for yourself. So yeah, I would say very comparable to to that theme in in Into the Wild.
Oh.
So how many paychecks?
So paychecks for Wild, I would give it, I'm going to give it 4.
Ooh,
out of 5 strong. Paychecks. It's a good movie. I liked it a lot.
Well, I think that officially like caps our Oscar nominated journey through Brian's movie reviews. I'm pretty sure he's covered almost everything that was nominated or every movie where someone was nominated from.
We tip the hat to you, Brian.
Theory of Everything, that's still on my list, but, you know, I got to mix it up.
Ah, well, yeah, look for him on the committee soon, Academy, if you need any help. Well, guys, it is almost the end of August here. And do you know what that means?
What does that mean, Dan?
It means the Little League World Series is in full
swing. Ooh, baby.
Ooh, sookie now.
And
Big League Chew a minute.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before, but I think all three of us grew up playing baseball.
Yeah.
But I've got to tell you this ridiculous story I heard. So I have a friend who was coach for one of the teams that made it to Williamsburg. And he said that his son had come up to him and had some questions because apparently the players have groupies.
As in the 11 and 12-year-old kids playing softball or playing little
have 11 and 12-year-old groupie girls. Like, he was saying that, so get this, not only will they wait for the players, like, after the games, because, you know, there's, like, that open park in the back where you don't need tickets, and they, apparently, the players put on a parade, kind of, before it all starts in Williamsburg, where each team builds a float, and they have this parade in recognition.
Okay.
Well, these girls will throw balls to the players, and on these balls, their phone number and name
awesome.
Will be written on these baseballs.
And then are the players throwing beads out?
No, not that far. But it's like, it's almost like that. Like, I couldn't put myself in that situation how I would comprehend that at 11 or 12.
Do you think the parents are aware of this?
I mean,
they're probably promoting this.
The parents of the girls?
Yeah, I mean.
How fuck can you do 11 and 12 year old girls just.
How can you not be aware that you're... Yeah.
I think it's gotta be like the culture. Like, oh, this is what our girls do. Your mom did it. Your grandma did it before her. So here are the family balls. Go ahead, take those out. Get yourself a husband.
Make sure you clean that pine tar off the bat.
It's certainly...
Samantha.
I mean, if you live in Williamsburg, Pennsylvania, we're gonna say there's not a lot going on. And...
True.
There are future major leaguers that play in the Little League World Series. You may luck out.
Oh, so you're saying this could be a strategic move for some of these young women.
I don't know why, but baseball, Boys of Summer, Eagles wrote a song about it.
Yeah.
That women love summer flings, and they love baseball players, and they love summer flings with baseball players.
So you're equating this to the Little League World Series of 2015.
Basically, that's what's going on in the Little League World Series. When you see those girls cheering for them, they're not cheering for the baseballs. They're cheering for... The balls that haven't dropped yet.
Right. Funny enough, though, if you remember our little league, when all those girls from Lewis would show up to every game, Ellen and Lauren and Chrissy and all those girls. So we actually have...
You had groupies too?
A real life example of this going down.
Yeah. Yeah, we had groupies. Well, Brian had groupies. I sucked at baseball. I sucked at baseball.
I mean, it kind of makes sense because baseball is... The pace that it goes at allows you to zone in on a player and really get some face time with them and really see what they can do because it's such an isolating sport.
And then you can hear everything that they're saying, too. It's not like you're on a football field in a stadium full of fans.
That's true.
You know, they're literally right here next to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to have a negative feeling about Little League World Series because of the South Park episode and the kids not wanting to play baseball. But now I don't feel bad for them if they're just going and there's a sea of preteens thinking it's like a Justin Bieber concert waiting to fall in
love. Oh, make no mistake. These kids love it. Love it more than the coaches love it. And I think that is a mistake to think that there's absolutely any opinion on the other side of the table on that one. These kids love it so much more than these coaches love it. These coaches can't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? Yeah. Stand in the way of 30 preteens with hormones aging.
Like, I mean, that's just, it's not crazy to me. I heard this story, and yeah, it was like a Mardi Gras parade, I felt like, but reverse.
You're a glorified school bus driver at that point.
Yeah, right. So are these just local girls, or will these girls travel to Williamsburg?
But I would assume that it could be a mixture of both.
Because how many 11-year-old girls are there in that city?
Yeah, that's very true. It could be a mixture of both, and that's just the culture there, man.
And that's ridiculous, though, too, because, I mean, what are they giving? Like
the fact that we're even fucking talking about this.
Like what are they giving? Like, friendship bracelets?
You know,
how are they appeasing?
Nah, bro.
Dude, Eskimo kisses.
Okay. Yeah, we're not going to go down that tunnel.
We will not go down that tunnel.
Holy All hands I'm saying is third base.
Make sure your kids don't have Snapchat, parents. If you have a kid.
That is very true.
Anywhere close to an age where they can use a cellular phone, make sure you delete Snapchat and never let them use it.
Yeah, I mean, what if it's not just the phone number, but also like the Snapchat username on that ball?
That is a word from of the wise from our degenerate of the podcast, Brian Owens.
It's just real world advice, and you'll thank me for it.
Yeah, and but other than the groupies, I kind of love the Little League World Series.
It's exciting.
It's great competition too. Like, I saw a kid throw, and he was pitching, and he got a grand slam hit off of him.
Oh, and that kid just fucking parked it.
Yeah, but it was such a great hit that the pitcher was impressed. He was shot, and then
Losing like 14-0 already.
He motioned to pull himself out of the game, like with a smile on his face. Like that's stuff you'll never see from anybody older than like 14, because it just gets so serious and the pressure amounts. But these kids can go travel, be playing for a month, and still have fun. And I think that's awesome.
And I know I sound like a sick bastard, but I mean, it sounds terrible, but I was in those shoes. I mean, Brian was in those shoes. Dan was in those shoes. Everybody that we grew up was in those shoes. I actually enjoy seeing these kids cry.
Oh.
I mean, it's terrible, but like, when hearts are broken, I mean, it sounds terrible, but.
Yeah, speaking of the degenerate on this podcast.
Yeah, right?
The former degenerate podcast host.
Well, speaking to that and trying
Brian
to
cross
take
words.
A left, right, the emotion that these players show is very refreshing to both of your points, because, this year we did see it a little bit in the major leagues. A couple guys got traded. They got choked up.
Emotional.
It's just really cool to see how much these kids actually love the game and how much it means to them. And it does remind me a lot of playing. And there were, you know, countless moments of glory in my Little League career. But
by countless, you mean that there's none, so you can't count them.
No, you can actually count them, because I have all of my home run balls still sitting on my parents' trophy mantle. And there's quite a few of them. So one that comes...
Brian smashed back in the day. Let's just say
in
that.
In more ways than one.
Oh, man. Yeah, a lot of BP back then. But I would say my favorite Little League memory comes off of a mutual friend of Brett and I's, Alex Powell. And me and Alex had a good relationship, but also a very competitive one. Bases were loaded in this particular game, and it was a full count. I knew he was just going to throw me a fastball down the middle. And so like, I kind of looked at him like, hey man, like, just throw it. You know, you think you can put it by me? And he did not put it by me. I put it in center field over the fence, and it was the only grand slam of my entire life.
Nice.
And it is a great memory.
Yeah, yeah. Mine, I would say my favorite memory was, actually, I think Brian and I were on the same team back in the day, and it wasn't during an actual game, but we were practicing at Lewis Middle School, and I think we were discussing, if I remember it, I think we were discussing Dana Carvey jokes or something like that. And
chopping broccoli.
Yep. And our coach proceeded to hit a fly ball to his son out in left center and did not know that he hit it pretty much leading his son right up the wall to a pole, like to a rail. And the son blindly, full speed, ran straight into the pole, like straight into the walk rail coming down the hill, flipped over it, and we proceeded to get chewed out. Why we didn't warn
right
the son about him running into the rail?
Oh yeah, down. I remember that. Yeah. The Cardinals.
Yeah, that was an awesome time. I think we went 0-14 that season.
That was the worst team I had ever been on by far. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
We were terrible.
Yeah, that was an awful team. Dan, how about you?
One particular season stands out where. I was like one of the three best players on the team and was very good friends with the two guys I was playing with. One, I just went to his wedding in May because we're still friends. And we had a rival of a team, and I would pretty much compare our team to the Mighty Ducks because you had like – I was probably Charlie. My buddy Joey was probably
That's
probably
a bold
Adam.
Statement.
Calling I was yourself a Conway.
Charlie. Charlie.
Okay,
Conway.
Okay. Calling oh, yourself the Conway.
My parents okay. still together. That's the
I'd probably slap the C on hey. my shirt. You know,
but
just saying.
Banks,
I thought my mom fucking really used to this.
We know that Banks was the better player.
Oh, Banks was.
Yeah.
And that would be Joey. But
I don't even think... Sorry.
Yeah, before you get down that hole. But right. we were basically my dads. Like, we had... The latter half of the team was kind of the misfits thrown together. Never played before... and we had like the one girl who was playing baseball instead of softball. And we were the Marlins. So we even had that fluorescent green.
Nice.
And our rivals were the Pirates. And they were definitely the Hots. They were definitely the rich kids. They had all the gear. And we beat them in a walk-off to advance in like the playoffs.
Nice.
And that was probably so much fun.
How old was this?
We were probably 11.
Okay, so like tournament of champ, like TOC maybe, probably yeah. probably around then. Yeah, yeah, TOC or something like that. So
it
good
was
job.
It was a ton of fun, but then I think we lost the next week. But it was just fun to take down the Hawks.
Yeah. Little League was funny. I mean, Little League was. I mean, when we think about it, Little League. I think everybody grows up playing it.
Yeah,
but
man,
that ran
practicing.
My life. Baseball ran yeah. my life
yep.
for.
Three, you practice three times a week. You have like one or two games a week. Like 5 days a week in your summer was baseball.
Yeah. Ironically, now that I'm thinking about it, the person sitting right next to me, Brian, was on my first T-ball league when we were, 6 years old? And
yeah.
our dads coached it. So, I mean, it's crazy how much Little League actually runs your life if you grow up with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we still have foundations on it. So.
Brian just couldn't share the groupies, huh?
Nah.
Nah, man.
What groupies were... What the... Motherfucker. Really? Okay. All right.
All right.
You didn't get that text back then?
Damn it.
That text back then, yeah.
Meet me at the snack stand.
He texts you through the cup attached to string attached to the other cup.
Free fireballs does not mean free fireballs, dumbass.
Yeah, I spelled it out in Big League Chew strips
yeah,
for you.
Jesus. Okay, yeah.
Oh, man. That was good 26th episode there.
Yeah, yeah. And we're
2-6.
And I mean, something that we've picked up lately too, and we need to give a shout out to the fans too.
Yes, thank you, listeners.
Guys,
thanks
for listening. Yeah, you guys have blown up recently, and my God, we are hearing it. We're watching it every day, and just trust that steers the ship and that puts wind in the sails. So thank you very, very much for that.
Yes, you have given Brett so much self-confidence.
Yeah, he can finally get it up again.
Yeah.
It's been a real issue.
But we have been Pop Not Soda. Your weekly six-pack of pop culture. If you have any hankerings for any of our other episodes, you can check us out on iTunes. You heard
yay,
me right.
Yay.
We're officially on there.
On iTunes at pop_notsoda or at popnotsoda.podbean.com. You can follow us on Twitter at pop_notsoda.
Tweet, tweet.
You can follow Brian at bowens619. Brett at Nieces Pieces, or myself at Dan_Perez_. So until next time, have a good week, and we will see you later.
Peace, love, and chicken grease.